to make sure. Okay. All right. So let's just start. Let's start with these charts here. These are things that you cannot show Michelle. Okay. No. Michelle is. Yeah, my truth. Michelle is an archetype purist, and I sort of negotiate with her on my mad scientist ways of evolving things. So this is sort of the vision of what we've been doing. I have showed you this chart before, but I haven't always put the whole thing together. These are all the things I've taught you so far. We've talked about the soul level. We've talked about and understanding that if you look at this chart, when you're deciding on sort of how to fill this chart out, and by the way, you also have my chart on the next page, the one with the arrows on it.
Yeah.
So this is the example of how mine works. So you have these charts, and you'll get it. You'll have this online. You'll be able to print these up anytime you want. But really, once you've done it a few times, you won't need to do it a lot. But you may want to do it for friends or for a client or something like that. You know, really try to help them through. But it takes this is a bit of work.
Can I ask you, like, when you write the book you're writing?
Yep.
That is not a plug. The book you're writing with all the profiles.
Yep.
Right? So because
and the vows.
Okay. And as I'm talking to people, they want more information.
Right.
So.
It's coming. It's all we can do. Send them to the website. There's a lot of information.
Yes.
For novices, there's a ton of information on the website already, and they can take the test.
Okay.
And you know a lot about them, so you can support them in further questions.
So in the normal website or our website?
ReeseMethod.com.
Okay.
ReeseMethod.com has pages and pages and pages about the profiles. Great thing to send your clients to just, you know, so that they want to learn more about their profile. You know, the basics, both the light and the dark side of it. The history, where they came from, the Alexander Lowen stuff, all that stuff's on there.
And it's still three tests,
Three tests. It's going to be changing this spring. I'll be upgrading those. And I'm going to make a shorter free test for people that just want to try it out and see how it comes out. So basically, we have, this is the spirit world, all right? So this is when we're talking about the soul level, it's behind this chart, the soul level and the life purpose level. Those are these levels here, and sort of where those two begin to coordinate. It's really, this is the soul level here. This sort of splits into half spirit, half matter, which is the life purpose level. So this, the life purpose line exists both at the spirit level and here. And what happens is that your soul either has a creative, artistic, mystical quality, a sensitive, loving, intuitive quality, a service, compassion, sacrifice quality, a wisdom, achievement, mastery quality, or a leadership, power, courage quality. And all the other words that we have in the English language that describe those things. Okay, so the synonyms of all those words and anything you could feel in that, those are soul qualities. And your soul has, usually, it has, for me, it definitely has a lot of that. It has some of this and a little of this and almost none of these. Okay? All right. But it's not that they're not there, it's just they're not even worth putting an arrow in for, you know? So Lisa's specialties and these are my specialties, why we, you know, you make a good team. When these elements come into the earth plane, oops, that's not much of an arrow. When they come into the earth plane, they become the profile. All right, and I call them the five species of human being because literally they're like five different types of people. Now, this is really important. I don't know if I've emphasized it a lot with your group. I'm emphasizing it more with the students coming along. One of the great lies, probably the biggest mind screw that we've gotten growing up is that the primary spiritual difference between people is that there are men and women. The difference between man and woman is the primary spiritual reason that we're on the planet, and it's not. It means almost nothing spiritually. Souls come in and they randomly choose different ones. They prefer one than another. But these qualities are evenly distributed between men and women. The mind screw you got was that somehow the archetype of woman and the archetype of man and the crazy, insane social programming and brainwashing that we've had about what women are and what men are have created an enormous change in the way we see ourselves as an archetype, as a person in the world. I am not suggesting that men and women are that close to being alike. They're very different in a whole lot of ways at the first chakra level and maybe the second chakra. But after that, it pretty much just kind of like blurs into almost nothing. And there are 10 more chakras that are just as important as those first two chakras. So we have an entire world that believes that the first two chakras are the only thing that count about a person. And that is a amazingly stupid and painful way to go through life, because we are denying the 10 chakras we share evenly and must come into balance with and see the power in every one of those chakras. We run those through this crazy little window of I'm a mommy, I'm a woman, so I must be a mommy, I'm a dad, I'm a man, so I must be a dad and go out and work. And it's just like, and so anybody who breaks that mold has to feel guilty and shamed. That's insanity. If you start seeing yourself through this model, which is what we've given you, and you start seeing your clients through that model, and you stop trying to put them in that, it doesn't mean that at the first and second chakra they don't have to deal with the fact that they grew up with this horrible archetype of you know, women have to be service oriented. They have to, you know, they have to deal with all those things. Those are wounds, but those are only wounds and vows at the first two chakras. The upper chakras do not have to have those wounds. They're not as tribally based. And so when you start talking with people about these things, it's really important to recognize that each of these qualities, so for instance, my creative idealist, you'll see on this next page, it gets a little tricky here to see what's going on. Since this is my primary, it affects every one of these 12. I'll just keep going here, ding, ding, all the way over. Every one of my archetypes serves that. Okay? They make sure that when a person walks up to me, when some guidance comes to me, when I have a feeling in my body, when I fall in love, when I speak, when I think, when I get a vision, when I get a guide, when I get anything that comes to me, has got to serve that quality. So getting to know your core quality is essential, because that every one of these things has to be able. You have to be able to. If you've picked an archetype, okay, and like I said, Michelle. I already talked to her. I said, look, I'm telling them this stuff because this is how I see it, and I've yet to see it not work this way. There will be archetypes in here that won't be obviously, and I gave you sort of my, you know, short list of what archetypes fit in for each profile. There will be archetypes that Michelle may give you tomorrow, or you may have chosen for yourself that aren't on that list. But I want you to see that if this is your core quality, that will, like, for instance, I've got the Magus. Where's my Magus? Which is a pretty kick-ass thing. Where's my list? All right. So, for instance, I have the father, I have the father and the magus, which is how I father, okay? In the first chakra. A magus is a person who runs a mystery school. It's a kind of magician, but when you read Brida, the guy was the magus, the woman was the witch, right? So it's the sort of the male element of that of the mystery school teacher. I've been doing this lifetime after lifetime. I've been poking people like you over and over and over. I love to poke. And it's the way I father. So I have a father in here, father archetype, but it's really more of a magus, which is I'm more concerned with your spiritual development than with your personal development. I don't really care that much. And I found that the same thing with my children. I love the fact that they're doing things, but I'm much more watching that they're staying on their spiritual, sort of that they know that that's their cause, their archetype, their core. And this is your primary archetype. When Jung said, what's the primary archetype? It's your profile. This profile is your primary archetype. And then these are the ones that serve that primary archetype. You've got these 12. And you need to make sure that you figure out, because this also has some knowledgeable achiever in there, which is the pokey, sort of critical, the critical father. And it has a little charismatic leader in there, okay, at the first chakra level. But they all serve. But now, even though there's knowledgeable achiever and charismatic leader, which are very grounded, when I go into my first chakra, and we also want to ask, is it excessive or deficient? And I'm in defense. I'm deficient in the first chakra. I come out of my first chakra because this father and this magus are not the tough guy father. They are the spiritual father. The one who holds a spiritual, that I hold a really grounded spiritual space for you. But it came down to, you know, I mean, I learned martial arts just to discipline myself. I'm not a fighter. I'm not going to be the one who goes out, you know, when somebody gets in a tussle with a neighborhood kid. I'm not going to go out there and grab that kid and push him up against the house. And I'm not that kind of father. I'm not that kind of protector. I'm not going to use these two that way. These are used more as this energy to drive you further into spirit. So once again, serving this mystical, creative, artistic quality, not these, even though these support that. Is everybody with me on that? So you can see that, I've just shown you where sort of all mine go. I've got a few charismatic leader, you know, I've got two charismatic leaders here. I have I've got three knowledgeable achievers. I have one emotional intelligence specialist my heart is my one connection to the emotional intelligence specialist. And for me, the heart is it's my victim. My victim is in my heart. And it's my loyalist. For love, I will stay, if I love someone, I will stay in a relationship way longer than is good for me because I want that. I want it. I believe in that. So there's this loyal quality. I loved my brother, for instance. I mean, he was He picked on me unmercifully for my whole life, but I could never stop loving him. I never rejected him until I was a teenager. You know, then I smacked him one. But it didn't, and it changed, and our relationship changed, but it was just like, I set that for my life. Girlfriends, you know, I never broke up with anybody. I always got broken up with. I was always loyal beyond what was healthy for me around the heart. There was this poor me neediness. And so that's why I went into Rule Keeper. I went into Rule Keeper in my life to protect that. I went into all kinds of other Rule Keeper behaviors so that I wouldn't have to feel my heart. And so in the heart, there's both the creative idealist and the emotional intelligence specialist. And when it was too hard to bear, I just left. And so I married an emotional intelligence specialist because I could feel her heart, but she felt abandoned by me all the time because I couldn't ask for my own needs. I didn't have that capacity. I had to be loyal to her needs. So you need to...
Saying that, then I have a bone to pick with you about not having any team at all.
That's why he is me and Nancy.
I tried to hunt one down. I think I have the tiniest. Oh yeah, but you gotta understand. There is a huge difference between playing teen player on TV and having it in your cards. My creative idealist and charismatic leader, knowledgeable achiever. We know how to play team player. I worked at a goddamn country club. I never did it with anything other than sort of like, I'm doing this because this is the goddamn job. You know, it was because I'm doing this job, I'm making the money, it's all about me, and if I have to say, yes, Mrs. So-and-so, that's fantastic, I would do it not from any sort of obligation to her, but because it paid the bills. I never had this desire to serve another person.
But what you're doing right now, Reese, aren't you looking out for everybody here? Aren't you trying to everybody's best interests right here now?
I just told you, I'm a magus. I father you by the school of hard knocks because I don't really care what's happening in your life. You'll all notice that with me. You'll be like, oh my God, this is happening. I'm like terrible. I'm like, I'm looking at your soul. Your soul is laughing while you're having this big catastrophe because you finally have an opportunity to change. That's all I want to know. That's all I want to see in you. That's not a team player. I'm not going to enable you ever. Team players love to sort of let you know it's okay. And I mean, just think about it. Think about the difference between going and talking to Lisa when you got a problem and coming and talking to me when you have a problem. Okay? You see the difference? This is nice. This is nice. This is pokey. This is, I'm not gonna enable in any way, shape, or form.
That can still be compassionate.
I'm not saying I'm not compassionate.
Well, you've got the compassion and service.
Well,
I don't see you. I see you as knowing what your core is, what your mission is. If you want to come and follow me, I will work my butt off to help you, and I will kick your ass to do it.
Right.
But I'm not going to ever say anything just to make you feel better. I'm not going to say something to please you. I don't see you. I don't mean that negatively.
Right, no.
I have some people that are real big team players in my life. You're not.
Right.
But I want you on my team for my self-improvement in my life.
Right.
Because you've got things that nobody else has for me.
Yeah. I mean, just think about it. I mean, I played sports my whole life. I played tennis and martial arts. Totally individual sports. Did I love the guys that I played with and competed with? Yeah. Would I cheat against them? And would they cheat against me? Absolutely. We love the fact that we went head to head over and over. We fought each other. We battled with each other. But it was all about my thing I was doing. You know, my little world was that. I might have a little team player in the second chakra in my prostitute, where I do beg a little bit for love, but that's sort of like, it's still the same thing. It's sort of like I'm begging for me. It's not really, I'm begging for us. It's still a, you know. So, All right. So I didn't want to get all the way through this. I just wanted
no
to show.
Team player. Let's get off.
I mean, if any of you run across my team player, send him home. He's been out there wandering the streets for many, many years, I think. All right. So the important understanding of this is that this is the what's it called when you, it's the progression into the self, the individual self. You need to then go back through these to get back to the soul. You access the soul vertically. You access the self, well, vertically. You ascend to the soul, and you descend on this to the personal self. So these are the things I've taught you. You've got the profiles here. You now have the archetypes, which are the taskmasters specifically for each of the chakras. And I don't mind if Michelle tells you that this one might do both that one and this one. But it's going to be doing this one primarily. I mean, if you looked at every one of these things, every one of my chakras, my father and my magus, okay, that quality of holding a house for you all to spiritually grow in, of course all my chakras serve that. When I'm in that, that's what I am. But it's at the first chakra level. It's at that most sort of primal, that's just what I'm going to do in my body. That's what I'm going to feel as a sense of why I'm here, what I am. Each one will have a servant called a chakra. So this is the global, you see here it says global laws of attraction. So this takes all of the energies in the world and calls them to you through that archetype. So because I have that at my first chakra level, I get guidance at the first chakra level like a 2x4 to the head. When my guides come to me, it's painful. They make me sick. They make me go feel like I'm going crazy. They drag me out of my body. They create dreams in me that are so intense that I can't. I think I need to take drugs to stop this, which I did for many, many years to stop those things. And so there's this sort of like, you know, how it comes through is really, really important for you to understand. So those are those universal ideas, but they come down, boom, and they hit the first chakra. Okay, and that's how my first chakra operates. So you, and how do I know? So for instance, my first chakra is, I even wrote them out a little better here. First chakra, archetype, father, magus. The profile is the creative idealist and both the charismatic leader and knowledgeable achiever. And I know I only put one arrow there. I didn't want to make it too messy. And they're sort of the same guy over here. They kind of act the same in my life. As role as spiritual father for many and the charismatic leader that loves to push my children into their core. My strongest vow is I must be self-sufficient and a good provider. The spiritual family is more important than the tribe. Those were my vows. Those were like, it was like I knew that the spiritual family was more important. I mean, I really didn't have, I didn't grow up in a family where we were all lovey and dovey and everything. You know, it was like we somehow were on this journey together, and it wasn't about this sort of tribal unity and everything. It was more about everybody's on their own mission. We had that understanding. It was just sort of a family understanding. And I never felt like I needed to be serving the tribe. I never had that kind of vow in there. Very much of a creative idealist, you know, sort of charismatic thing. And so that serves that. You can see that vow in there is definitely would definitely serve those. So we're in the right ballpark there. And when I'm generally deficient when I'm in defense, I will not conform. I will do it my way. I will push or detach rather than nurture the family. Okay? So does that sound like creative idealist with these two guys as their partners? Absolutely. And so we're looking at that, and then my basic quality is 1 foot in the spirit world and 1 foot on a banana peel. That's my basic quality of my first chakra. It's always been that way since the beginning of time. Since I remember anything, I was having dreams at night that I was, you know, getting murdered and drowned by Anubis. He would take me on the journey of souls every night, kill me, drown me, and then you know, teach me something, which I was just like, by that point I was like, I'm done, take me back, I'm gonna wake up. I'm running to my parents' bedroom every night and go, the dog came again, and they're like, go back to bed, you idiot. But there was like, that was my life. I was 1 foot on a banana peel. I was like, Earth was just it's just a convenience for a moment while I'm having this other thing happen to me over here. So, but that's my first chakra. So when I go into defense, I'm out. It's just done. I'm going to dissociate. Is everybody with me? You need to, and so when you answer those basic questions, what's my vow? Am I, you know, what's this thing? What's the core quality that you have in that chakra? And I'm not suggesting that you all are be able to read this as well as I do. I've been doing this for years. But this is the kind of personal study that you need to be doing with yourself to really start progressing in your spiritual growth and recognize the kind of choices you need to make and how you need to stay out of that defense. Because you'll notice when I'm out of my first chakra, I realize, you know, I can't be of benefit to anybody when I'm in that, you know, distant poking type of thing. I need to be present and really be with you. All right, so here we are. We're coming down. So we come through the profile. We come through the archetype, which is the world's, which sends the messages from the world. Everybody who's ever lived, every archetype that's ever existed in the world has these qualities. There's been millions, well, maybe tens of thousands of maguses on the planet. There've been trillions of fathers. And those all are gonna, the ones that resonate with me are gonna come into my first chakra. Okay? And then I look at my body, how do I deal with my actual physical body, how strong is it, I can really see, yeah, that's what's serving that. Now, from there, we have, once you get all of these, once you've figured those out, the next level is the level that Eva Perakos was talking about, the core selves. This is the behavior of the chakras. This is where the life gets formed, and you have the lower self, you have the higher self, and you have the core integrated self. And you'll see on the chart, I didn't mess them around where mine might be going, but many, many people have almost all of these focused on here, in the ego self. Now, this is the mind created, it doesn't, I put this line here, because this doesn't exist. Your defense is where you took all of God's power, all of this energy, everything, all of your chakras and your profiles and your archetypes, and you decided that I'm going to be somebody that doesn't match that at all. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be mad. I'm going to be this. I'm not going to use any of that energy. I'm going to make this false person. And that's the defense. And so what happens is that for a lot of people, because all of these things point to who they want to be or who they should be or who they're afraid they aren't, their sense of self is just here. It's like the whole relationship, and this is the, you know, probably the average person. It just goes back and forth between this, I do have a sense of self, but I know what it is. I remember who I am. I'm really going to be this. I'm definitely going to be that. I'm so good when I'm this. I'm so, you know, it's just like they're constantly convincing themselves that they're that. Rather than what happens is that when the system's healthy, is that the soul has a twinkle. It triggers the core quality within you. It begins to awaken. It calls energies to you, and people and things and jobs and situations come to you. Your chakras feel them, have this amazing sort of quality. And then what happens is the chakras 1, 2, and 3 become your lower self. You're a raw animal. You act powerfully. You are fearless about getting your needs met. You will stand for what you believe, what that power right there. And then 4, 5, 6, and 7 go to the higher self. So your higher self is made up of, when you really feel the fourth chakra, the seventh chakra, what you're experiencing is what Eva Peracco's talked about as the higher self, your highest purpose on planet Earth. So your lower self is that you better survive long enough to live your highest purpose. And when you're willing to kill and die for what you need, and you're willing to know that animal has a purpose on this planet, for me, my animal is, I've got to do whatever it takes to keep this message going. Whatever it takes. I have to be willing to die for this message. I have to be willing to die for my relationship with Margaret if I'm ever going to make it something that has a highest purpose. If I'm just going in there because, well, it's convenient now and, you know, I'm sort of a rebound guy from my other marriage and I don't know if I'm really going to commit to this one. I don't know. You know, boom. Living right here, complete waste of life, no energy coming in, no energy going out, just a total mind walking around in the world. But the passion of the lower self that wants to have a partner, wants to merge, wants to have that depth of raw physical connection with another person, and then a higher self that sees that we both have this mission on the planet to transform the way people think and do things, it's like that. Those two things add up together, and they add up to the integrated core self. So when the lower self and the higher self, when all the chakras come into their proper place, and you're willing to own this lower self and the higher self, you then become the integrated core self, which have all of the spiritual attributes. So you become these spiritual attributes. And what are these spiritual attributes? They come back to these basic qualities here. So who I'm going to be here in my core integrated self is going to be my creative idealist with all of these incredible flavors. And this is the way I'm going to talk in the fifth chakra. This is the way I'm going to see the world in here. And then what happens is that ideally what we get is we get who I am is primarily this relationship here. When I'm in my core, I'm here. But I also see myself as this highest purpose, and I also see myself as an animal. I never forget that. That's a really important thing. You do not transcend the human body. That's what Siddhartha was talking about. The first thing we all try to do is we think spirituality means I'm not going to have needs. I'm going to be so above it. I'll be so spiritual. And that's not it at all. When you own constantly that I am literally one walking need, then I understand how chakras work. Chakras are just needy, sucking energies. They suck life into them, process it, and then express back out with the energy. And as you do that with an open chakra, life charges you up all the time. These are literally the law of attraction. Every chakra, every spiritual center is a magnet for energy. It is literally you are calling to you. And so now you want to find out what your soul quality is? You go backward. You start looking at your lower self qualities, your higher self qualities. When I'm in my core self, what kind of flavor does that core self have? Because on Sunday, I want to know your core self. I don't want to know, this stuff is great, but I want to know the one thing that you're willing to die for. Because if you're not willing to die for this, you're going to be living in this. Does everybody get that? Enthusiasm. You ask me to do anything, I'll bring enthusiasm to it and it'll work for me. Anything. I'll be creative and I'll be enthusiastic. You want me to tone down my life, which a lot of people have wanted me to tone down my life. The people at the country club, my first marriage, there were levels of my enthusiasm for life that were just more than they could handle. Enthusiasm? Passion. Charismatic leaders are passionate. They're lower self. I'm this guy. I'm more higher self. It's like the creative idealist has enthusiasm. It's just like, I'm enthusiastic. It's like, it's up, it's going up. You can see me. It's like, I'm enthusiastic. A charismatic leader is passionate. It's like, it's about the battle. It's about the you and me. It's like, we're going to get in the lower chakras making this happen. It's all about the raw battle of it.
And the hot air balloon versus the raging bull.
Exactly. Yes. So I am up in the hot air balloon having a great time seeing the big picture and doing that. So I am willing to die for that. And when I am not enthusiastic, my primary thing that I do is I overwork. I make what I love the most enthusiastic about 24-hour day work. I will work like for just getting ready for this class and the previous class. I probably have done close to 100 hours in the last 2 weeks. And it's not healthy. It's my defense. But every Friday right before class, I'm like, this is what I'm doing. And that moment of I'm going to change it this way, it makes me so enthusiastic that all the pain and suffering that I'm living in here and trying to make it perfect, not making it, you know, something, not giving you last year's news. I want it new. I want it so new. I want it like cutting edge for me. So you're getting the ultimate cutting edge energy every time.
That's why the agenda changes 5 minutes before we go live.
Right. Every time. Now, that will eventually have to stop, and that's one of the things. It's one of the things. I'm actually in the process of trying to hire a full-time person to run the school. And so you'll have a whole different experience. Well, you're all done, but you'll have a whole different experience of the graduate site than these last 2 year people where they've been asking for the graduate site and I haven't had time. Things have got to change because I can't do that anymore and stay enthusiastic. There's only so much energy that I have.
What you did to Jose? You scared him away now by sending him that message for you. Now he's not even.
I know what happened to Jose. Things working tonight. All right. So do you see? So you're coming back through here, and then you're gonna, and so this is who I am. You get to know your chakras. As you get to know your chakras, you start realizing those chakras have flavors, have qualities, and that quality is something that really serves one of these deeper levels of who I am. And that deepest level of who I am comes up to a principle that my soul lives by. And when you get to that principle, for me, it's enthusiasm. It's sort of a creative, mystical enthusiasm for newness and transformation. And when I get back to that, that's what I'm willing to fight for. And so this is the physical expression of that. And this is the map. I mean, this is totally, it's like when I thought of this.
It's super cool.
That's right.
You're a mad, brilliant genius.
I figured this out last summer and I was like, oh my God. And of course, the first time I told Michelle about it, she said, you're an idiot. You know, that's not the way things work. So this is totally Michelle's domain and I don't want to mess with that. I'm going to mess with what you do with them. So
Michelle would probably take those 12 circles and move them right underneath the soul. But who cares?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've talked to her about this. She's trying it out, but she's a tough sell. But I'm a good salesman, so we'll get her there.
Well, and isn't the purpose of the school part of what you taught us is to listen to everybody and learn from everybody and to leave nobody?
Totally. Totally. Figure it out. And if this works for you, use it. But I highly recommend that you really make this work for you and see. Well, make it work from the standpoint that run those 12 chakras, run those 12 archetypes. Because my thing was that we did the 12 archetypes. We used to do the 12 archetypes, and people were like, great, what do I do with them? So I got this archetype. Which one's important? I got 12. How the hell does that affect me? Well, if you recognize that each one has a very distinct flavor and quality that's very similar to one of your chakras, now all of a sudden you understand that these chakras have a taskmaster and a core quality of their own that you can honor in yourself and love yourself through. Okay? I have no idea what time it is.
It's almost time to go.
Oh, boy. All right, let's just finish with a chant, and then we'll send everybody home, okay? She's bringing the baby.
Well, what if you put a picture of it all over the place?
Oh.
She'll love it.
She'll love it.
Right?